Hi, everybody. How you doing? Good. I'm so excited to be out here with you guys. I love coming to Living Waters. I love Elk River in Minnesota. It's cold here, but it's cold in Ohio, too. Really excited to bring the word here today. I actually want to introduce a friend. I just wanted to honor my friend Eileen. Not to embarrass you, but she was in the Philippines for 2 years. And going to a school to become a midwife, and she recently moved to Minnesota like 3 weeks ago to be a midwife. So Eileen is incredible. If you get a chance, say hi to her. She was a missionary at IHOP KC for like 8 years, and just an incredible person. So I just wanted to say that and honor you, Eileen. You're awesome. So thank you so much. She actually lived down in the inner city when me and Leah we're down there doing missions work as well. And so she knows a lot of our story, how we met and everything. So she was very involved in all of it. You guys want to hear how we met? You guys want to hear the story? Well, we're getting married soon, so I think it would make sense for me to let you guys know. We knew each other we met each other at IHOP. We both were doing the night watch, which the International House of Prayer, if you don't know, is a ministry that does 24/7 worship and prayer. And so we were doing the night shift for like 5 years, and we kind of knew each other. And I guess that maybe she started liking me before I liked her. That maybe. I don't really know if that's true, but she tells me that's true. So I started to notice her, and we were in school together. And I prayed this prayer, and I said, God, because we had assigned seating for this one class that I was taking. God, let me sit next to a cute girl. Lord, please. You know, at the International House of Prayer, like, we love prayer. But sometimes those prayers are just practical. Like, there was a very practical prayer. It was, you know, I'm praying for revival and all that. And I just wanted to sit next to a cute girl. And her last name right now is Chanwar, and mine's Christofferson. So you got the C-H and the C-H. And so we ended up sitting right next to each other. And I was at the very end of the row, so she was the only one sitting next to me. So I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, I started to notice her, started to want to pursue her. The Holy Spirit was really showing up at IHOP at that time in some really powerful ways. We had what we call the IHOP Student Awakening, and a lot of people in our class and school were just getting just blasted by the Holy Ghost. And lives were getting changed, and I remember one day, the Holy Spirit had just broke out, and it was just an incredible, for hours and hours, people were just laid out in the Holy Spirit, and God was just doing incredible stuff. And I'm sitting there, it's like 4 a.m., and I'm just kind of feeling down about something or whatever, you know, and all of a sudden I just hear like this scream, like, "Wah-ha!" I'm like, what is going on? And I look over, and it's Leah. Like on the floor, like just Holy Ghost, just all over, like just crazy laughter. And it was just, I was like, I'm going over there. So that's where I went. And the Holy Spirit and a bunch of us friends were just having a good old time in the Holy Ghost. And so anyway, started to pursue her. She said no at first. So, but it's okay. You don't need to cry for me. I'm crying right now, but I'll get over it. She said no at first, but I thought that she did like me. And I was right. And, we have a really funny story where we were doing camp together. And for about 2 months after camp, there was just, things were just weird between us. I was like, what is going on? Like, I didn't know what was going on. And finally, we ended up having a talk. And she says, we kind of, you know, cleared some stuff up. And she goes, well, we need to talk about one more thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? The thing that you said to me. And I'm going, what? 2 months ago, the thing you said to me. I was like, what did I say to you? The text. You texted me that thing. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm thinking like any text, like what did I offend her? Did I say something I shouldn't have? Like what did I, oh man, I'm just like racking. I'm trying to think. And she goes, during summer camp, you sent me a text and you never talked to me. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And all of a sudden, my brain just flashes back. I go back 2 months in time, and I'm sitting in a bus I'm driving a shuttle, and all of her kids that she was a counselor for are in the shuttle. And my phone, my cell phone, just falls out of my pocket behind me. And one of her kids picked up my phone. And I go, "What are you doing? Give me my phone back." And all of a sudden, 15, 20, 30 seconds passes. And I'm like, "What'd you do?" I look at my phone. There's nothing there. Turns out her kid had texted Leah with my phone saying, "Leah, I love you. My heart is yours. And until your heart changes, I will wait for you." So, for 2 months, this text had been sent from my phone, and she thought that I sent her this text and was not talking to her for 2 months. But thank God, the Lord, as David says, is my defense. He is my shield. He is my stronghold. And the Lord had my back that day. And so she kind of thought I was pretty immature. She's like, "Well, I thought Nathan was cool, but who would do this? He's the guy. He should talk to me." So anyway, we got it figured out. And a little while after that, we started, to date. And we were in the inner city together for 2 years. We both worked at Hope City, the inner city missions base that IHOP has. And we're reaching out to kids and doing worship and prayer stuff with inner city kids. And it was just an incredible time. We went to Haiti. And when we actually both did the same trip to Haiti. And when we were there, that's when we started a serious relationship. And the rest is history. So now we're getting married in 2 months. So that's our story. What was that? You want me to tell the cat story? Oh, my goodness. Oh, really? The cat story? Okay, let me get a drink first. Let me get a drink first here. That's good water. Thank you, Dave. That's really good water. Isn't it annoying when someone drinks water from a public place and then you get all thirsty? Is anyone having that? Like, "Oh, now I want some water too. Well, I got the water." No, sorry. That's mean. Okay, cat story. Let's see. How can I fit this in? The cat story. Oh, man. This is, we might want to turn the recording off for this one. We don't want Pete to get a hold of this story. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, I started to pursue her, and we go to Walmart one night, and we had this kind of joke going that if it was a real date, I had to pay for whatever I got her. So anyway, she buys one of those little things of ice cream. You guys know, like, Häagen-Dazs, or, they have those tiny little things so you can eat ice cream and not feel bad because it's such a small amount that it's not unhealthy. I love it. I love that ice cream. It's so great. So she gets one of those. We both get one of those with the little spoons. I still have the one that I bought for her. I do. So, anyway, it's got mold in it. It's probably got some diseases. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't. I'm pretty sure I washed it. I hope I did. Really hope I washed that thing out. So, we got this, and then I started joking. I was asking her on a date, and she was kind of like, you know how girls are. So maybe not just like that. I'm sorry. Ooh. Shouldn't have said that one. More beautiful than that, for sure. That with flowing hair and gorgeous eyes. So she was like, "Well, I don't even remember what she was saying, but something about a date or a double date." And so finally, and I bought the ice cream. And so I said, "I just took you on a date." She said, "What?" I said, "Because I bought you the ice cream." And so we get in the car and we're driving back to where the apartments were that the different IHOPU students were staying at. And I said, "Yeah, well, I would like to take you on a date. Can I take you on a date?" And I had been waiting for an answer. I think I had talked to you a few days before. She probably has a totally different version of the story. So disclaimer. No, it's good? Okay, awesome. So finally, we're driving, and it's late. Okay, so picture inner city kind of area. It's late at night, and we're driving. And she goes, "I wouldn't be close to the idea of you taking me on a date." This is like 9 months of me trying to get a date with this girl. And I just start rejoicing. You know how David talks about, like, you know, like when he has victory in battle, he's like, I will enter the house of the Lord and fulfill my vows before you of praise, or, you know, something like that. So I just start praising God. And as I'm praising the Lord, I'm like, yes, hallelujah, praise you, God. And I drive right through a red light. I'm like, oh, whoa, oh my goodness, that was really scary. And as we're driving, I'm like, what just happened? Oh, and I look, and all of a sudden, and a cat, I'm sorry if you love cats, this is sad, a cat runs in front of the car, and I run over the cat. I hate it when that happens. I'm the kind of guy that screams when I hit a squirrel, okay? Like, have you ever had that where a squirrel's like, no, squirrel, ah! And so I run over this cat. I'm like, no, this is terrible. And she didn't believe me. I just hit a cat. I'm like scared. I'm like screaming. Okay. Like I just ran through a red light. I just got a date with the girl of my dreams. And now I run through a red light and then I hit a cat. All you prophetic people, let's not go anywhere with this. Okay. It was all a coincidence. Okay. All a coincidence. I'm telling you. And she's like, I don't even believe you. And I turn around to show her. And there was the cat. And I had to run over it again. It was the only right thing to do. And you're all laughing. It was terrible. I can't believe you think that's funny. I need some prayer. Anyway, that's how our relationship started. Running over the works of the evil one. That's what it is. There we go. There's the prophetic word. So anyway, we're getting married. Nathan and we are getting married. And we're so excited to do that. Man, how do you transition from that story to the message that I feel like I should preach? I've been doing ministry for about 7 years or so. Went to the International House of Prayer. Went through school. Met the girl of my dreams. And recently I've moved to Canton, Ohio, where I'm doing ministry work there, pioneering a house of prayer and regional missions base. It's been a dream of my heart for a good number of years to do something like this. And really have a sense of calling to really pioneer works of the Lord in different locations. And really excited, just seeking the Lord on some steps for other ministry things the Lord's put in my heart, and excited for that. So that's what we're doing right now, and getting married May 2nd. I think I've said that like 5 times, because I'm really excited about it. Give me a break. Okay, sorry. And the word that I wanted to bring today has to do with unity in the church. And I feel to encourage you guys by way of reminder of something that I really sense is a part of what God is doing in the region here, and something that God has put in Elk River and in this congregation and in this church in the city. How many of you know that there's one church? There's one church. And there's one church in Elk River. There's multiple congregations, but there's one church. There's one bride. There's one family. There's not two families. There's not a Catholic family and a Protestant family. There's one bride. And that bride belongs to Jesus. And he will only have one bride. I will not have more than one bride. And neither will Jesus. And that bride is going to love each other. And that bride is the church. It's the corporate church. And he loves her. And he paid a price dearly for her on the cross. It was a price far greater than the sacrifice that I had to make pursuing Leah, or any husband had to make for his wife. As great as the sacrifice can be, the sacrifice Jesus paid for his bride was his own life was everything. He laid down everything. He gave up the riches of heaven, Philippians 2, became a lowly servant, the servant of all, that he would have a name exalted above all others. So I want to talk to us about unity. Ephesians talks about this. The Apostle Paul talks about unity. He talks about one bride. He talks about a gospel that was preached in a time in history where racism was huge, where racism was terrible. Racism is definitely a part of our world today. There are definitely racial and dividing walls that are here. But the truth of the gospel is that the dividing wall of hostility has been torn down. The dividing wall of hostility that exists between people groups, and as Paul says, between Jew and Gentile, was forever destroyed by the work of the cross. So that now you and me, as Gentile believers, and as Jewish believers, and as any race or nation or ethnicity, can come before the Father with the same standing as one another. That all of us together, as one bride, as one body, have equal standing before God. Irregardless of race or what class you came from or how much money you have, we all have the same right to stand before him as children. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. I'm going to read this for you. Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he says, he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. God has built a dwelling place for his Spirit. God has built a dwelling place for his Holy Spirit. Where in the Old Testament there was a temple that was built. It was according to the Mosaic law. They had a tabernacle built. David laid out the plan. Solomon built the temple. They prayed the prayer. The glory fell. And the glory filled the temple. And this temple was such a unique place. Never before in the history of the world had there been a structural building where God's physical glory, his Shekinah glory, dwelt. It was the place where God was worshipped and adored. Sacrifices went on. It was the center of Jewish life, was this temple. Central was this law and this temple and the presence of Yahweh himself. And Jews, in that time, the unique calling that they have and that we specifically see was that they were a light to the other nations. That this Shekinah glory would dwell, and that through the lifestyle of the Jewish peoples, the other nations that surrounded them would look and see something different. That salvation would not be only for the Jew, but that salvation would be for the Jew and to the Gentile. Now, we know that Israel, through the Messiah, has entered into that calling, and only through Jesus. Jesus walked out the calling that Israel had perfectly. And through him, he has built a new temple. The temple is you and me. See, Paul talks about Christ in me, the hope of glory. Each of us are temples of the Holy Spirit. But there's another way that he uses the term, where it's not just an individual thing, it's a corporate reality. If there's one thing, as a friend of mine said, a friend in Kansas City, and I loved how he said it. He said, there's one thing that Jesus loves more, or there's one thing better than me loving Jesus. It's us loving Jesus. It is the corporate dynamics of a bride that loves him, and that you and me all together, and not just this church, but the church the church in Elk River, the Latino church that gathers in this building, blacks and whites, Latinos and Asians, we comprise this multi-ethnical family that is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's desire from eternity past is that he would have a family from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Every race and ethnicity, he would have children coming from the nations. Children that he called and desired before he created the world, before the foundation of the world. He said, I will have sons. I will have sons and daughters from Africa, from the United States of America, from Canada, from Europe, from Asia, from all over the world, from every stage in history. I will have a family. I believe that this issue of unity in the church, before it is something that we obtain, it is something that we are. Whether we like it or not, we're family with the church down the street. Whether I like it or not, my dad is John. I can't help that. And I don't want to help that. He's a great dad. But, I mean, if I didn't want him to be my dad, it wouldn't really matter. That's the crazy thing about family. You don't get to pick your family. And the same is true with the church. We are brothers and sisters with a diverse, very diverse group of people, and some of them think differently than us, but we are united through one thing, Jesus. Him. I believe that the worship and prayer movement, that the worship that Jesus desires, that we can only go so far by ourselves until we need each other. There's only so far that we can go by ourselves, and God has set it up that way. There's an understanding of Christianity that we have and that we offer, but there's an understanding of Christianity that another group has and they offer. And I've seen it everywhere I've gone, whether it's I've been in Israel and seen a lot of Jewish believers. There's a unique thing that they have that is like totally something that we don't see the same way. The same was when I was in Haiti. There was something that they had in Haiti, in the inner city, when I was working amongst the poor. Everywhere I go, there is unique peoples and expressions of the body of Christ. And I believe that it would be wisdom for us to, through the Holy Spirit, seek God. What are you calling us to do? How are we to move forward together? More than just cross-denominational, between races as well. Between different ethnicities and people groups, even people who speak different languages than us, which that is a hurdle to cross. But here's something interesting. Genesis 12, it talks about a story where God did something very unique and very merciful for the human race. If you want, you can go there. We're going to go there, and then we're going to look at Acts 2. Actually, sorry, this is Genesis 11. It's the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same word and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled here. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitum for mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. See, right now, this is an act of rebellion. What did God call Adam to do in the garden, back in Genesis, 1, 2, and 3? He said, be fruitful and multiply, take dominion over the earth, and the call was to cover the whole face of the earth. It wasn't that that this society would just dwell in this garden, in this land of Eden. It's that humanity would take dominion over the whole face of the earth and spread out. And here we have a rebellion. They say, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to all gather. We're going to build ourselves a city. We're going to make a name for ourselves. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people and they have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Well, this is unity gone wrong. This is unity without Christ. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. So we have this gathering of people. This is a huge event in the history of the world where the peoples of the earth are coming together. They have one language. They have one purpose, one vision. And the Lord says, this is not going to be good. So what does he do? He sends confusion through language. And he disperses them to slow down the growth of a rebellion that would happen in the earth. Globalization, now we're seeing through technology that globalization is a huge thing. And there's many incredible benefits, but there's also, with sin, there are things wrong that are coming forth from this. Human trafficking is just one thing that we could say about that. Globalization has made such a way for men, women, children to be trafficked over the whole earth. And so what is the answer that God has for this? Let's go to Acts 2. So in Genesis 11, he divides for a purpose through language. In Acts 2, we see similar to what he did with Solomon in the temple, where the glory came and fell, and there was 120 ministers. Now there's 120 disciples that are all gathered in the upper room. And what happens? The Spirit of God comes to that place, the Holy Spirit fills his new temple, which is the believers. And what happens? The fire comes upon them, the wind's blowing, similar to what happened in Solomon's temple. And what comes out of this? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm in Acts 2, verse 4. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed, astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear, each of us hear in his own native language? And he lists the nations: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. And of course, Peter then preaches a sermon how the Holy Spirit had fallen on them. And the message of the gospel at this point goes global. It goes international. It goes beyond the borders of just the Jewish understanding. It starts to go to the nations of the earth. It's going to the Arabs. It's going to the Parthians, the Medes. And it's passed on through time to every nation, tribe, and tongue. Jesus says the gospel will be preached to every people group in the entire earth before Jesus' return. And you and I are living proof of this. We were not Jews. We were not a part of the promises of God. But through the gospel going forth to the nations, we have been brought into a family, a multicultural family. And so what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking, not just to us, but I believe to many people right now, is unity, is that we are a family, is that there are brothers and sisters that we have in all the nations of the earth. I want to just take some time and pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to just come. Father, we just thank you for what you're saying. God, I just thank you for what you're doing and what you're speaking to us about the different peoples, God, that you've given us even right here in Elk River. God, the different believers, the different understandings. Father, I ask you by the Holy Spirit that you would enlighten our minds, that you would enlighten our understanding to see and hear what you are saying. Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters. God, we thank you for those who are gathering with different understandings of Christianity, God, that maybe are slightly different than us. God, we ask you for Holy Spirit ideas, for Holy Spirit bridge building, for bridge builders right now, Father, that you would call forth men and women who would have unique anointings, God, to reach out to different people groups. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you that at the same time you're doing it with us, you're doing it with others as well. In Jesus' name. If the worship team wants to come up, maybe some, if you could jump on the piano, the keys, if a few singers want to come up too or something. I feel like maybe we could have just a time of just responding to this. And I just sense like there's some people that have a unique calling of building bridges. You know people from different parts of the body of Christ. Maybe you haven't even tried, but it's just happened that way. And I would love to pray for you. So, see, how do we want to do this? Let's just have, you can just come up here and we'll have the music play. And if different people feel a stirring in their heart for unity and for what God is doing, just come on up and I'll pray for you. So...